Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, what's up? This is DeJuan Boyd, a.k.a. DJ Rabbit, representing Rabbit Productions, hanging out chilling with my girl, Cy Boogie. That's right, Cy Brown, right here on LifeRemixedRadio.com. Say word.
Hey, everybody, it's your girl, Cy Brown. Live. Today is Thursday, and you know who's with us. DeJuan is with us for our weekly Ecclesia Bible study. Dee, I need you to take over the show just for a second. Let everybody know what we're talking about, and I'll be right back. You there?
Yeah.
We'll take over the show just for 2 minutes, and I'll be right back.
All right. What's up, people? Today is a great day. We're going to deal with the subject called I See Dead People. We have been talking for the last couple of weeks about prayer and hearing from God, and prayer is the tool, the vehicle in which people are able to hear from God so they can get direction for their life. And over the last couple of weeks, as we went through that entire process and Bible study, we got a lot of different questions about, you know, how people hear from God. Can you hear from God through, you know, mediums or spiritists, or could you possibly hear from God and get direction from your ancestors or past loved ones or from a psychic or horoscopes, tarot cards, and palm reading? So many different ways people believe that you can, you know, hear from God, even to the point to where they think they're getting a message or a direction from someone that's passed. So therefore, we came up with the topic, which is called I See Dead People, because people have so many misconceptions about life and death and the afterlife. I know for myself, in doing this Bible study, sometimes, you know, every time you read the word, it's a life-changing experience, but then there are other times that you read and study the Bible, and it's a dramatic paradigm shift, where it changes everything you thought you knew. You know, beforehand, before going into this show, I had certain, you know, predetermined ideas and notions about, you know, life and death, the afterlife, heaven and hell, all these concepts and ideas that are drilled into your head from Bible study, from Bible school, from Sunday school, from church. But when you really dig into the word and really look at things for what they are and really study, a lot of those misconceptions can be, you know, disproven. A lot of questions are raised. So today in this show, we're going to deal with the topics of, you know, hearing the voice of God. How can you hear it? What are the means or methods? We're going to deal with the questions that people may have had in regards to reincarnation and past lives and channeling it. Then we're going to also just deal with one of the main reasons why people want to know is because they want to know, you know, the afterlife. Is there an afterlife? What is it? What does it pertain to? What does it involve? What do you actually do? What do you actually know? So that is the crux of the show that we're going to be dealing with today. I know for myself, I have traditionally been brought up to believe that, you know, Christians that go to church every Sunday, every Wednesday, and every Friday, they show up, they get a star by their name, they give their little tithes or they give their dues in the Baptist church, and, you know, they got fire insurance. They're straight. They're good. They don't have to go to hell. That's all life is about. You know, you go to church, you do your little thing, and you die, and then bam. You know, angels come get you, chariots come scoop you up. You go see Big Mama and them and Grandpa and all your old friends immediately when you die. You go straight to heaven. That's what we've been taught. That's what we've been told. And, you know, it sounds good. It sounds comforting. It kind of makes you feel like, you know, hey, you know, I can do whatever I want. I'm good. I'm straight. You know, and I think that's created a problem, because when we get into this Bible study, that's not necessarily the case, where people actually die and go straight to heaven. I know that sounds good. I know it sounds great. That's what people say. But Ecclesiastes 9:5-6 says that, "For the living know that they die, and the dead know not anything. And there is no more them a reward, for the remembrance hath been forgotten."
Can you give me scripture one more time? Ecclesiastes what? Ecclesiastes what?
Oh, you back. You came back.
I was back. I was just listening to you. I was just listening.
Okay.
But I turned to the scripture. Ecclesiastes what?
9:5-6.
Okay. Yeah, I was back. I was just listening.
So verse 6 is, "Their love also, their hatred also, their envy also have already perished, and they have no more a portion to the age and all that have been done under the sun." Basically what they're saying in the premise, I mean, before I guess we really get into the whole context of the different, can you communicate with the dead, can you use psychics, I mean, all these type of things that people want to know. First, we got to really delve into and determine, I mean, what is death? What is the afterlife? What is that state? What is that state of consciousness or existence? Then you can better determine all the other questions we may have. And when you look at Ecclesiastes 9:5-6, it basically says, to paraphrase, when you're living, you know that you're going to die. But when you're dead, you don't know anything. You don't. There's no consciousness, not just your body, but your soul, nothing, zero. No consciousness is a wrap. All your love, all your envy, all your strife, your hatred, all the things that make up your soulless consciousness is sleep, is done, is nothing going on. You're in a state of sleep. And when you study the Bible over and over again, you know, Christ and the apostles constantly refer to people once they pass into death, into a state of being asleep, awaiting for Christ to come back the second time. And I know I'm getting very controversial, and this goes against everything your Sunday school teacher told you and your favorite pastor told you. But it's a consistent theme. When you look at Acts chapter 2:34-35, Paul said, "For David is not ascended into the heavens, but saith himself, the Lord saith unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool." And then he says in verse 29, "Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you that the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us now unto this day." Well, we know when this was written, this was well after the cross. This is well after the resurrection of Christ. So if our Sunday school teacher was correct, Paul would have said, David is in heaven with the other saints. He's in heaven with Christ. But that's not what he's saying here in Acts. He's saying, you know, David, like the rest of the saints, are still in a state of sleep, non-consciousness, waiting. They're dead and buried. So what this does for me, going through this Bible study, it was a dramatic transformation of just thinking on this subject. It was a paradigm shift because everything we know, as this show says, is life remix. And what you got to understand, the Bible is a Jewish book. It's it's come from a Hebrew perspective. The only way I can explain this is just like for people who are into hip-hop, you wouldn't let somebody, a suburban white dude, tell you about hip-hop and give you the story of hip-hop and the origins of hip-hop from a suburban white America's perspective. It wouldn't be authentic. You wouldn't get the nuances of what hip-hop really is about from somebody that didn't grow up in it or create it. So when you look at the Bible, it's the same thing. The Bible is not a Western Bible. It's not an African-American Bible. The Bible is written by Jewish people. All the authors, everybody that wrote it, everybody that contributed to it were all Jewish. The nuances, the phrases, the perspectives, and the words, they all come from a Jewish perspective. They don't come from a Western mindset. They don't come from a Black Baptist mindset. So to be able to understand phrases and the words and the perspective when they talk about death and Sheol and heaven and hell and Hades and all these terms, you gotta go research it and see it from their perspective to fully understand the truth of what was being conveyed. And I think that's why we have so many misconceptions about so many subjects in the Western church, especially the concept of life and death and the resurrection of Christ and what do we do when we die, because we're looking at it from an American Western
D, you there? He was saying it's he'll probably be right back with us. He was saying that it's taken from an American and Western perspective. But one of the things that I want to just read two scriptures from the Bible, because he and I got into a very engaging conversation about life after death and what happens when you die. And we kind of touched on that the other day, because I said I have seen dead people. And he was saying, "Sai, that's not possible." And I'm like, "Well, wait a minute. I was asleep, and I know without a shadow of doubt my grandfather was standing right there in front of me, and I got scared, and I'm like, "Oh my God, you're supposed to be dead." So I mean, when you look at something like that, I can't help but to believe that something else happens when we die. And I think the first thing that we need to establish is that we are spirit, and spirits don't sleep. So, Mama Smokey and How Elegant, I see that you put those two comments in the chat room. We really don't. I believe your spirit is eternal. It's going to go on forever and ever. So based on that premise, and let me give two scriptures to back it up. I'm going to put it in the chat room right now. One is Luke 23:46. So that Luke 23:46 in the New Testament says, well, it's talking about Jesus' death. And in 23:46 it says, Jesus called out with a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." When he had said this, he breathed his last breath. So that's right there. Mama Smokey, I see you just called in, so give me 1 second and I'll pick it up. And hey, Yeshu, thank you for joining us in the chat room. And the other scripture that I'm going to put up in the chat room is coming from the book of Acts. The book of Acts, chapter 7, verse 59. So both of those I'm putting in the chat room. And it says, "When they were stoning him, Stephen prayed, 'Lord Jesus, receive my spirit.'" So those two scriptures alone lead me to believe that your spirit, it doesn't say that your spirit is going to die. Nowhere does it say that your spirit is going to die. It just says, "Take my spirit." So based on that, we know right away it doesn't die and something's going to happen to it. Mama Smokey, I just picked up your line. What's going on? Oh.
Good morning to you, honey.
Hi.
Okay, I have an example, and I wish Dee was on the line. Well, I know maybe he can hear us, but a while, and this was years and years back, I was really into drugs. I mean, I was really into, like, sleeping reds, and I don't know if they still call them reds, but downers, you know, secondals. I mean, I was there. That was my drug of choice. And my cousin and I were very, very, very close. And he passed away, and I could not go to his funeral. So one day, I'm laying in the bed, I'm asleep. And you know how sometimes you sleep, you can feel somebody looking at you, but you can't explain it? Well, when I looked, I opened my eyes, and I swear, my cousin was standing there in his uniform, because he was in the service when he died. And he had his cap across his chest, and he says, "You know that we've always been close, and you're going to join me really soon." And I went, no, that's not my thing. So immediately when I woke, I got out of bed, I took every pill that I had, and I flushed it down the toilet, because that was my warning. Now,
right.
The weird thing, and this is really bizarre, my parents went to his funeral, and they brought a picture back of him in the casket. And he was laying in the casket in that uniform with his cap across his chest. I never was there. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So I know, like you, I know it exists. And to me, that was a wake-up call, and he was telling me, you got to change because you're going to come with me if you don't. So
yeah.
I know it's for real.
Yeah, and that's why I'm saying, and I even shared with you behind the scenes that I would have agreed so totally that, based on the Bible and based on all of these things, that no, once you die, and that's it. But if I had not experienced it myself, literally had that engagement with a spirit, with a something, I would probably be in that same vein that no, we're blaspheming the Lord, that this is blasphemy, we shouldn't even be speaking like this. But I lived it. I actually saw it. I actually experienced it. So based on that, I can't accept the fact that there's not more to this. And let me share one more thing. A friend of mine, his wife died years ago. This was years ago. And she had money hidden in the house. And unfortunately, when she passed away, he didn't know where the money was. So he's like, Dad, where's this money? He was tearing up the money. He was tearing up the house for the money and couldn't find it. And I remember him telling me years ago that one day he was just laying in the bed, and all of a sudden he heard in her voice, check the drawer behind the whatever sock, wherever it was. And he got up and checked, and there was the money. And
yeah.
I remember asking at this time, was that her or was it God? And he said to me that it was God, but he was using her voice to establish a familiarity so he would be receptive to it. And there's no, and he said he tore up the entire house looking, but it wasn't until that voice came, and I said, well, why didn't it come in some thunderous role? And he said, because a familiarity had to be established. And had it not been established, he probably would not have gotten up. And when he got up, he looked in the drawer behind or whatever it was, and the money was there. So there has to be something to this. Dewan is now back with us. What's up, Dee? Are you there?
Yeah, I'm back.
Okay, great.
I don't have all those Verizon people behind me. And so the people I do have with me, they kind of, they dropped out.
Yeah, like how they have the commercial with like 50 million people behind them, right?
Yeah, I only got like 10 people.
You're so silly. Kept the conversation moving. I put two scriptures up in the chat room. One was just establishing that something does happen to our spirit, and it was the book of Acts chapter 7, verse 59, and it's in the chat room. And it says, while they were stoning him, Stephen prayed, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And the other one was Luke 23:46, and it's about Jesus' death. And he says, Jesus called out with a loud voice, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. When he said this, when he had said this, he breathed his last breath. So that tells us right there that our spirit has an opportunity to go someplace else. But now what happens after that point? I can tell countless stories, maybe not necessarily countless, but stories where people have told me that quote-unquote dead people have come back to help them. I just gave one example right now, but I want us to really explore and look into this. So, Dee, pick up where you left off and let me know your thoughts on this.
Okay, what was the last thing y'all heard me say before my people dropped me out?
You were talking about... I forgot that fast. I'm sorry. Left off.
Well, I guess to pick up where you are right now, the Bible says, I don't know if you all are familiar with a phrase called familiar spirits.
Yes, you talked about
for me, it says in Deuteronomy 18:10, there should not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or daughter to pass through the fire or useth divination or an observer of times or an enchanter or a witch or a charmer or a consulter with familiar spirits or a wizard or a necromancer. For all these things are abomination unto the Lord. Because of these abominations, the Lord thy God drives them out from thee. Isaiah 8:19, and when they say unto you, seek unto those having familiar spirits, unto wizards or chatter, who chatter and mutter. Do not a people seek unto its God for the living unto the dead. Basically what it's saying. And then again in Leviticus 19:31 it says, do not turn
Leviticus
to
what? Guess what? 19:31? Because I'm putting all these in the chat room.
Okay, Leviticus 19:31. Do not turn to mediums or spiritists. Do not seek them out to be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God. Basically, to sum it up, those three verses, from divination or enchanting or witchcraft or charmers, they consult with the spirit world. Obviously, you have God, you have Christ, and you have angels, and you have demons. Necromancers are people who specifically deal with dead people. And then you have mediums who may deal with familiar spirits. But you got to understand, the reason why God gives these warnings, even though necromancers claim to be dealing with dead relatives or ancestors, etc., that's why it comes with the term familiar spirit, because a familiar spirit is familiar with everything that goes on with you and your life and your parents' life and your kids' life and your cousins and your mom and them and your friends and Pookie and Ray Ray and everybody else. Because demons, you know, they've been around for thousands of years. They know everything. So the premise is, if you, dead people are not coming back talking to people. They're not helping people. God says that the devil comes as an angel of light to fool people, to deceive people, to trick people. He's the father of lies. So when people consult with mediums or spiritists or enchanters or witches or charmers, or they call and psychics or watch TV show Beyond and all these different avenues or channels to try to contact people, basically you can't be distracted of why people do this. The reason why people do this is they're looking for direction. They're looking for guidance. They're looking for help. And we already know how we move in being is only in Christ. So God is not going to contradict himself and say it's an abomination to deal with familiar spirits and wizards and necromancers and mediums and spiritists and then send your grandmama to come talk to you. He's not going to do that.
So one, we have to look at something too. I think it's safe to say we can all agree that nobody here, and maybe some people do, and we do have a caller on the line. Caller, I'm going to pick you up in a second. I do not consult with spiritists or anything like that. But I also know that I have received help and guidance from a metaphysical source, something beyond the physical. And I know if we start delving into auras and chakras and all of those things, we'll see. I mean, I know my mother-in-law, who is saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost, says that you should never engage in astrology. And a lot of people would agree that you should not engage in astrology. But then if you really look at it and think about that, how when they were wandering in deserts, they were relying on the stars and the planets to gauge time, follow the eastern star and all of these things, how can you not incorporate some type of astrology into your walk with faith? And some people may vehemently disagree with me, but I think when you really look at it, you can't deny that a lot of these things have a relevant place in our walk. But before you feed into that, let me pick up this call real quick. Hi, caller from 602. You're on the air with Cy Brown and Dewan, right here on Life Remix Radio. How can I help you?
Hey, Cy. It's Kevin.
Oh, my God. Hey.
How are you?
Fine, thanks. What's up?
You know, I'm going to toss something in here. When you understand that the Bible teaches you, you should go within yourself to find your answers, and that's how you should find your guidance.
I believe that. And one of the purposes of today's show, specifically I See Dead People, is because we've had conversations about spirits and visiting spirits, and I think this is a very safe place for us to all get out and get our answers and our questions resolved in a very loving environment. And we can
right.
all agree disagree. But when I look at it, I look at the Bible. You know, we can all look at a shirt, the same exact shirt, but I may look at this blue shirt having more of a purple slant, and you can look at it having more of a blue slant, and somebody else may look at it and say it has more of a lavender. You know, we all see it and accept it in a different way. And Dewan made a very good point when he said, when we're basing our study of this on the premise of the Jewish faith, because we want to make sure we're studying it from the most organic perspective. But I just think this is something that's so very important in my walk and in the lives of others, because we want to get this thing right. Not that we're going to master it, but I want to get it so I know where I'm going and I can make good decisions with my life. So I see that Yeshua put in the chat room astrology versus astronomy. I mean, there's just so many ways to look at it. So I can't tell you how much I appreciate so much you calling in to add to this dialogue, because it's so incredibly important.
Well, see, if you realize that you're supposed to guide your life from inside you and not rely on the messages that other people say or do, because the interpretation of those messages are way out there. You could get somebody that claims to be a medium and claims to talk to your dead father, and they're making it up.
Right.
The true communication, however it may come, is going to come through and to you directly.
Well, you know, that's what Dewan said. Dee, remember you didn't you say something that spoke to that the other day when we were talking, that Disguise TV show was taken off the air for that exact reason?
I'm not sure about that, but I do agree with the caller that at the end of the day, the whole point of prayer, when we talked about prayer, is that as God says, Christ said, my sheep know my voice. It boils down to you trusting God and his voice and his will for your life. The problem is, when we start to vacillate and get to a point to where we're operating in fear and we don't really want to trust what God is telling us, we may hear it, but we don't want to do that, we're going to go and seek out another means to get our will done, or for somebody to confirm or validate what we really want to do, whether it's a medium, psychic, or whomever. I mean, it says in Ecclesiastes 12:7, that the spirit returns to God who gave it. I mean, I think we have to come to grips with the whole concept that when people die, they're dead, they're unconscious. They don't come back, they don't talk to anybody, they don't do any of that. But at the same time, the devil's primary responsibility is to steal, kill, and destroy and distract people and get people not to trust God. So if he can use ancestor worship or whatever he used to get in there to get you to start bring your life after what somebody else is telling you, whether it's a medium or a psychic, or I even take it to another extreme. I've been in churches where people are so hooked and addicted to getting a word from a prophet or prophetess or their pastor that they don't even pray anymore. They don't read. They don't even get the direction for their own life. Every week, just like they're looking at the horoscope, they're waiting for their prophet or their pastor to tell them what God wants them to do, whether it's to move, get a house, get a job, marry this person. And that's all wrong. The only thing the Bible says in the New Testament is, how can they hear unless they have a pastor? Well, that's so that they can hear the message of salvation. Once you become saved and get the message of salvation, Christ comes into your heart. God speaks to you direct. You don't have to go and get the word or the pattern or the direction for your life from some prophet. You know, Apostle Paul, none of the apostles, nobody sat up there in the Bible in the New Testament and made people get under their covering and told them that they had to follow what they heard that God said for them to do. That's totally an oxymoron. Is diametrically opposed to what salvation is. If the point of salvation is, well, once Christ God dwells in your heart, him and God, and then you and the Holy Spirit teaches you, you're filled with the Holy Spirit, and he teaches you and guides you into all truth, then the only thing a teacher or a pastor and a bishop can do is confirm whatever the thing is you're studying. But when it gets to the point where you're relying on somebody to give you guidance or tell you what you need to do or what seed is and how you need to move into this, then we get into that gray area where it becomes no different between people who seek mediums and spiritists and the people who go to church. I mean, like, I've discovered there's a fine line between having faith and magic. Magic takes principles and uses formulas, and then they say them over and over again to bring results. Well, faith has turned into the same thing. People take different principles out the Bible and make formulas out of them and create seven steps, and they tell you to say them over and over again to get the results you want. But the problem is with all of this is that prayer and getting direction from God and faith is I will trust whatever it is God says I'm supposed to do, even if it's not what I want. Just if you go back to the Old Testament, when the Hebrew boys were getting sent to the fire, they told the king, they was like, well, we know the Lord is able to deliver us from the fire, but if he doesn't, he's still God. It doesn't matter because his will must be done. And that's the whole point. And it's the reason why we go back to this whole thing of trying to get direction for our lives, whether we're getting it through all these alternative means, because the human spirit, the carnal mind, wrestles against the things of God, doesn't want to submit to God, doesn't want to do the things that God wants to do. So people are always looking for a way out. So I have to go back to the whole premise, even though, you know, people may say, well, I've come into contact with these supernatural experiences, and they help me out, and they do it X, Y, Z. Well, you know, like I said, the Bible says the devil comes with an angel of light. He'll help you out if it's going to ultimately deceive you. If it's going to deceive you and get you off track and distract you and move your trust away from God and seeking God in yourself, then great. Because his whole job is to lead as many people away, you off the narrow path, which
but
is Christ.
See, can you? Juan.
Yeah.
There's a lot of background noise where you are. I'm not sure if that's you or the other line. But anyway, Anyway, I gotta add. How do we wrestle? And I want to hear this from everybody in the chat room too. How do we wrestle with the fact that a friend of mine said he heard this? Is that God or is that some demonic spirit? You know, I know that I saw my aunt, and I know I communicated with her without us exchanging words. And I know that matter of fact, erase that. I'm gonna tell you something to me even more recently. Just this morning, I was thinking about my grandmother, and I actually had a conversation with her in my head. It may sound creepy or whatever. As soon as I completed the thought, the phone rang, and it was her. I was like, holy cow, how is that possible? I mean, there's just things that are inexplicable, and I can't. Maybe it comes from God, but I can't accept the fact that there's no way to communicate with spirits. And you're saying that once
saying
you
that,
go, but I can't accept that.
So despite whatever scriptures say, it doesn't matter. You want to believe you saw it because you actually saw it.
I know what I saw. I mean, I'm not trying to be the antithesis of Scripture. And you know, Dee, just based, you know, I am right there trying to be in this word. And that's why today's show is so important to me, because I know that I live by the Bible. You know, I'm not the first person in church for a service, but anytime there is a Bible study or a life study, I am so there. But that's why, to me, I'm so torn, because I know I have felt a presence around me. I know when I'm feeling anxious, I'll feel a presence. I know what I experienced. If it didn't personally happen to me, I would be right with you 150%. But I've experienced things that I don't know how to explain, and that's why I'm confused, dare I say confused. I don't want to say confused because it's not a situation of confused. I'm at a point right now where I'm establishing my belief system. And my belief system for 37 years has been based on the Word of God as it was taught through a church in my Bible. But now that I'm opening myself and being more receptive to God, as the God of everything, the author and the creator of life and breath, I'm understanding that I have to look outside the confines of what was taught to me by church. But I also don't want to start tap dancing into any wicked stuff. And I remember sharing with you in Acts 1:7, it says, and as a matter of fact, I have my Bible in front of me, so I want to make sure I quote it correctly. But this has been on my heart for a couple of years because I spoke to a relative of mine who's really, really into church, and she pointed me to this scripture in the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 7, where it says right here, Jesus, when it's talking about Jesus being taken up to heaven, and it says, he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. And I live by that. I'm not trying to go to mediums and psychics and all of that oogly woogly stuff. I'm not trying to. But then where does the fact of spirits and the spiritual realm play into what we believe? You know, the Bible says, in my Father's house there are many mansions, and I personally believe that that means that there's different levels of awareness and spirituality. So if, in fact, I'm reading in my Bible, in Acts 1:7, it's not for us to know, that means we ain't supposed to be sitting here trying to figure out the future. And I firmly believe in that. But then how do we deal with actual spiritual presence?
Well, you said a lot there, so I'm gonna try to.
I'm sorry, you be pouring my brain out. I'm so sorry.
I'm gonna try to go through each individual point. Number one, I would say you have to come to some type of resolution in your mind that, okay, if it's clearly in Scripture that says, like in Hebrews 9:27, is appointed for men to die once, and after this to come judgment. That people die once, their souls go back to God. They don't come back. So I can't pull it up right now, but there's a story in the Old Testament, in the book of Samuel, where King Saul was looking for guidance and direction, and Samuel, the prophet, who he normally would talk to, was dead. So he goes to a medium, and the medium conjures up Samuel, who people think is Samuel, but it really wasn't. And Saul talked to him, and it sounded like Samuel and all that other type of stuff. And all that medium was doing was using a familiar spirit. These spirits can take the form of anybody you know to deceive you. So in this particular case, Saul went to the medium. She was a witch of Endor, and she conjured up Samuel. And Samuel had a conversation with Saul and told Saul what he wanted to hear because he was trying to figure out what to do in this particular situation. And it's a whole nother show and a whole nother conversation, but there are many ways that people open up doors intentionally or on purpose where they actually have these situations where they invite these type of supernatural experiences to happen. They're not people they know. They're demonic influences. They're spirits. Either, like you said, you didn't go call a psychic. You didn't go to a TV show. You didn't do any of this type of stuff. But in a lot of cases, based on the study I've done, that people have said, there are so many different ways that we can open up the doors in our life for these type of things to happen. Like the Bible says, give no place to the devil. Yeah, I remember growing up, my grandmother used to have these strange, scary-looking statues in the house. And all type of crazy stuff used to happen. And once they got rid of them, a lot of the crazy things stopped happening. As I got older, I went to a museum, and I saw the very same statues and looked them up, and there were gods, some deities, pagan, you know, deities that she had actually had. And that was a door that she opened up by purchasing and having those type of things in the house. So I think, even though you might have had these experiences with someone that looked and sounded like your grandmother, I think what we have to do is come to a resolution to what happens to spirits our soul at the point of death. If we want to believe that we going into a purgatory or going into some type of place where consciousness still exists, then it leaves the door open. But see, from the very beginning, the devil was always trying to deceive people and tell them they weren't going to die. He told Adam and Eve, you're not going to die. Death doesn't exist. Eat the apple. And God was like, yep, you're going to die. And everybody does. That's the whole point of the cross. It's the point, one of the points of the cross, that he resurrects those back to himself at the appointed time. Just like when you quoted from Acts chapter 1, Christ said, you don't know the times or the seasons. He was referring back to the very parable I was talking to earlier about the parable of the bride and the groom and the wedding feast. Because when Christ comes back, or when the bride comes, when the groom comes back for the bride, nobody knows that specific time or area appointment. That's why the disciples and the apostles in Acts chapter 1 were looking towards his coming back and trying to figure out when he's coming back. He's leaving them on Mount Olives, and he's like, well, you're not going to know the exact day or the hour. I won't know until my Father releases them, and they releases him. And they understood that, because they understood the whole parable of the wedding feast. So I think another point. Yes, ma'am.
Cut you off for 1 second. I just Googled familiar spirits, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they gave scriptures in Leviticus and Deuteronomy, refer to mediums and familiar spirits and forbid being involved with them, as they are an abomination to the Lord. The medium was one who acted as a quote-unquote go-between to supposedly contact or communicate with the dead. In reality, they were contacting demons who convinced the mediums that they were quote-unquote familiar and could be trusted and believed. These practices associated with mediums and familiar spirits were banned in Israel, and the punishment for practicing such things was death. To this day, familiar spirits, aka demons, are under the control of their master, Satan. They influence people to spread lies and deceit in order to thwart the kingdom of God. Knowingly opening oneself to the work of demons is an evil thing. Okay, I'm putting that where I found that in the chat room. But listen, let me say something else, because I have people that are getting ready to call in and da 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 da. Listen to this. My mother was in a body cast from her neck down as a child. So she was pretty much confined to her bedroom. And my mother has told me years ago that she used to talk to this lady who had long braids. Now, my family has very long hair. Indian, just for the sake of this conversation. So she would wear a part down the middle with the long braids. So my mother's mother, my grandmother, would come in there and finally said, Khadija, who are you talking to? And she would say, I'm talking to the lady in the chair. And my nana would say, come on, stop that foolishness, this and that. So finally, my mother kept saying, I'm talking to the lady. You know, they would hear my mother talking to somebody in her room. So finally, out of their frustration, they finally said to her, who are you talking to? And my mother explained this lady. And it turns out my mother never met her grandmother. And my mother described what my great-grandmother, which is her grandmother, looked like. That she had a part with long braids, very the features. And in a situation, such as that, my mother I don't believe my mother summoned anything. Maybe, you know, she was a little kid. And let me just give one more, quick example. When you look at people summoning spirits and things like that, my husband was watching this TV show. Well, not watching, he was channel surfing, so let me be careful with that. Something called True Blood, and it comes on HBO. And I remember he flipped it on and walked out the room. And I told him, I said, son, we can't watch that. And he was like, why? You know, it's just a TV show. And I was like, I don't even want that vibe or that spirit or whatever in our house. It's a show about vampires. And I immediately, after we talked about it over a couple of seconds, he was like, yeah, you're right, and turned it. So I do believe that if you open yourself up, open that portal up, you don't know what you're going to get. You don't know what the hell is coming at you. You don't know what could be coming upon you. And I think we have to be very, very careful, me as a Bible-believing Christian, that we can't be engaging in stuff like that. I think it's wrong, and I don't think we should invite that into our spirit. But then there again lies, there's got to be something, because my mom was a little kid and sat there and just talked to her grandmother. And
right,
I know.
Well, let me try
that. Can I toss in real quick?
Please.
Yeah.
When we understand that God wants one thing and one thing only of you, and that's love, and love always brings what is known as positive feelings. If something is being presented to you that brings negative feelings, that cannot be of God. So and the other thing you have to realize is God is going to have to get through to you somehow. So if something's presented to you that is a negative feeling to you, which is your direct communication with God, then you know you're not doing the right thing, and you're not dealing with the right whatever. If it's a good feeling, then you know you're in the right place. And remember, the number one tool of the devil is your ego.
Yes.
So presentation for what you need is going to come. And when you remember, we're all connected to the same energy field, which is God. Always has been, always will be. No stop, no start, no stop. The presentation is going to come to you. If you go to a medium or you go to a psychic, you go to these people for direction in your life, then that's an abomination against your life, because you're not listening to the true place you receive your messages from God.
Just thank you for that comment. I just put something in the chat room that right now I'm praying for all of us, because
well,
I don't
check
want
this out.
Yes.
I kind of have to respectfully disagree with some of the statements of the caller, because when it boils down to it, our experience in life, you can't rely on your feelings, your carnal feelings. You can't be led by feelings. You either have to know the voice of God and be obedient. It's no different than, you know, when God told Abraham to go sacrifice his son, obviously his feelings, that don't even sound right. God, you going to tell me to kill my son? I don't think so. You got to be able to know, like Abraham, the voice of God. You can't rely on carnality and feelings to move. That's what's so important about prayer and relationship, that you are able to get to a point to where you hear from God despite what your feelings are. Even Christ had just all type of feelings going through him before he went to the cross, talking about, take the cup from me. Is there another way possibly? But he still was obedient to the end. And to go back to what you said about Acts chapter 1, if you go to 2 Corinthians 2:5, in the first verse it says, Paul says, now we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by hands. Basically, there's many layers to Scripture. When you say in heaven there are many mansions, what Paul is talking about and what Christ is talking about is what we've talked about on this show. God, according to Acts 7:48, doesn't dwell in temples made with hands. He dwells in these temples, our bodies, our tabernacle, as is reiterated in 2 Corinthians 2 and 5. So to go back to your story about your mother and the grandmother seeing and she never met, what you got to understand, it's a complicated process, but when you get married, and this is an example, when you get married, it says the two become one. That house of the wife joins the house of the husband of the man, and those two houses come together. Now, what you got to understand, when you become one with somebody or you marry somebody, all their experiences come to the table. That's why the bloodline is so important. So if you're in a family that has practiced call in psychics or had Ouija boards who have done certain occultic activities, that child may not have done it, but that door, that supernatural door, has been opened by somebody in that bloodline, which allowed these spirits to come in. The Bible said, give no place to the devil. So then it's up to, once you realize these things going on, you have to go research and be able to cut these things off and get them out of your house or your bloodline or out of your spiritual sphere of influence. So it's not necessarily that you may have done something or your mother may have done something, but when you come into families, these, like they said, they have generational curses. You got generational spirits that somebody at some point has opened a door for these type of activities, paranormal activities to happen, and it's why it happened. It may not be the person's fault that it's experiencing it at that certain point. It's just like the story I gave about my grandmother who had all these crazy statues in her house that brought certain spirits in the room. I didn't do that. I had nothing to do with it, but I lived in the house and I saw some certain things, and it was because of the door that she opened when she purchased the items. So, I mean, there's a lot to really go into. We probably have to do a part two, but
yes, ma'am. A lot of stuff is going on in the chat room. How Elegant says Dewan is so on it. The conversation is flowing, and I'm copying the chat room because I'm going to put the chat room up on the blog. It's a lot. I mean, it's going to take me forever to edit it. Dave, I see that comment that you just made. Ha ha, thank you. We have Annie calling in. I'm going to pick up her line. I didn't realize we only have 7 minutes left to the show. I mean, I don't even know what happened to the time. But real quick, Pastor Montana McDonald says, feelings are not to be totally disregarded, but we must be able to discern whether our feelings are in line with God's will. Let me pick up Annie's call. Annie, are you there?
I'm here. Hi.
God, who are you? We only have, oh, my goodness.
Okay. I know we only have a few minutes. If you want me to, I'll just tell my story very quickly. I don't need, it doesn't take long. Five.
Yes, please, because we only have a couple minutes.
Okay, well, I lived on being a child of the late 60s, kind of. I got an echo, but that's okay. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. I lived on a commune when I was 19 years old for a couple years in upstate New York, and it wasn't, there were no drugs or anything, but it was a Sai Baba. We worshipped this Indian guru and had all kinds of meditation and stuff there. We grew our own food and all that. But to make a long story short, I went to Venezuela with some of the people from there, and we kind of hitchhiked around and did all kinds of weird spiritual stuff. And then I went down to Florida, and I was living near my parents down there and living kind of that kind of lifestyle. And one of my friends who had been Jewish but was on the commune and I traveled with, he came down and he visited me, and he had become a Messianic Jew, and he had received Christ, and he prayed over me, and we sat on the floor and started praying, and I started being thrown all over the room, and you can hear my voice shaking when I'm talking about it. But what happened was, I was just on the floor, you know, and then this white light, it was like a white, credible, like a dove, almost the Holy Spirit. It just came down and bathed me, and I was born again. And after that, and to this day, but especially after that, for a long time, I was very sensitive. Like if I walked in a room and there was anything to do with Eastern stuff or anything that wasn't Christian and from the Bible of the Lord, I had to leave. And that went on for several years. I'm still very sensitive, but I just feel protected too. So I just wanted to say all that.
Well, just so everybody is aware, while Annie was speaking, I extended the show to 90 minutes. I know everybody may not be able to stay with us, but I can't fathom just abruptly closing the show in 4 minutes. It just wasn't going to happen. So, Dee, if you can stay with us as long as you can, I know everybody doesn't have all day. Many people may be calling in from work, but for those of you that do have another moment, I have extended the show. This I prayed several times during the course of this show, and this is why. Because, oh, I'm just reading how Elegant said extend the show. Oh, I was probably doing it anyway. But listen to this. We are all coming together every day from a different background with different experiences. And we're all bringing these experiences to each other every single day. And I believe that we have to be careful what we open ourselves up to. I don't want anybody's negative spirit jumping on me. I was taught, don't even go around shaking hands with everybody. You don't know what's ready to leech onto you. And whether you agree with that or don't agree with that is not up for discussion. That's what I believe, and that's how that's going to stay. And I'm not even going to debate that issue. But what I do believe is when we have these spiritual conversations, it's already opening up our personal portal to other people's beliefs. So we all have to know who we are and pray ourselves even before we come to this show, because I didn't even know this was taken on this level. So I'm asking all of you, however you pray, pray before you get here. And I'm this whole show I've been praying because I need to make sure everybody is protected in their own space. I put out a blog post the other day that everybody is to take all of their negative energy and all of their negative thoughts and put it in a bowl, put it in a circle. And then with that circle, put a moat around it. Put it in a moat and don't allow yourself to cross that moat back into that circle, because what's happening right now is we are opening ourselves up to other people's faith and other people's spirits. My son's grandmother is a Jehovah's Witness, and when I wrote my book From Hip Hop to Heaven, it crushed me that she wouldn't even read it, and she said, I cannot read it because it does not align with my faith. And I was so offended. I'm like, but this is about me, this is about my life, this is about my spiritual development. And to this day, this woman has never read this book, and it tore me apart, but now I see why. You have to be careful what you receive and let into your spirit. So based on that, I am praying, and I have constantly prayed throughout this whole show so that we are all protected in our own right and that we can continue to be respectful and mindful of everybody else's belief. Dee, I don't want to lose you. I don't know how much time you have to stay with us, because I honestly can't stay on until 1:30. I have other commitments after that. But can you please pick up and try to start to wind this down?
Okay. First of all, I definitely want to appreciate Annie, the caller, for calling in and giving her story and basically illustrating what this really is about. I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, we get caught up in our daily lives of doing whatever it is that we do. And the context of life and death is lost in that. We have to understand, you know, God knew us before we were formed in our mother's womb. And according to Ecclesiastes, we go back to him. The soul goes back to him once we die on this in this present earth. And meanwhile, while we're here, every day and every breath that we're given, it is a spiritual battle like Star Wars, the dark side, and you have good, you have Christ. If you look at 2 Corinthians 5, verse number 4, verse 4 and 5, he says, for while we are in this tent, which is our body, which is our house, our tabernacle, we groan in our burden because we do not wish to be unclothed, but to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. Now it is God who has made us for this very purpose and has given us the Spirit as a deposit guaranteeing what is to come. In verse 5, when we get saved, Christ seals us. God gives us the Spirit as a deposit to lead and to guide us into all truth and knowledge about him. That's the good. Meanwhile, you have like experiences like what Annie has gone through and a lot of different people have gone through. You have the devil and all his demons coming up with all these anti-crises. When you look at the Bible and you understand the Hebrew word of anti-Christ means in place of. Not against, but in place of, people come up with all these different alternative religions, occults,
means and methodologies to be in place of the Spirit. So as you're a Christian, you're supposed to be led by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. He's supposed to guide you into all knowledge and truth. But the devil is out here with a wide path of destruction of many different ways to try and guide you, whether he can catch you with the horoscope, or he could catch you with the medium or the psychic, or he could catch you with the occult. He want to catch you anyway. At the end of the day, he doesn't care. He just want to kill, steal, and destroy you, period. On whatever method he uses, whether it's a familiar spirit, an ancestor you think this is, whatever it is, you have to look at the end goal. You have to look at the end. Why is this happening? What is the point of this? The point of this is to get you off track, to get your trust and faith away from the Spirit, away from God, into other substitutes, other antichrist. So even though we have, that's why when you look at the Bible, the disciples who were called, they put themselves into laying up treasures from heaven. They realized that this life, however long it was going to be for them, they should focus on doing the things of God and as I say, try to stack kingdom credits. Instead of, you know, a lot of times we get caught up into all these other things, the minutia of day-to-day living, and we forget that there is an actual war going on. The Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but principalities, kingdoms, and high places. So that's telling you on a day-to-day basis, you have forces. You got the Spirit and his angels protecting you, helping you. But then you got the enemy, the accuser of the brethren. You got his forces that's working against you on a day-to-day basis, you and your family and everything else. That's why he says in all those verses that you listed in the chat room that it's an abomination to engage in all these different activities that were listed, because the reason why he said don't do these type of things is because you're going to give a place to the devil. And you don't give a place to the devil because if you do, he's going to take advantage of it. You open it up, he's going to go in there, and he's going to wreak havoc. And anybody that's ever been involved in any type of sin, you always get more than you bargained for. Oh, you thought you were just going to do this and jump off into this, and you was going to dip. But then it turns into this whole big thing. It's always more than what you bargained for. So,
DeJuan, yes, ma'am. Annie, just she's patient. She just had something to say. Annie, can you please go ahead? She kept saying in the chat when she had something. Annie, you there? Did I lose her? She put in the chat room that she had something to say. I'm sorry, Dee. Everybody's saying that how Elegant says, oh, yeah, he's telling the truth now. Well, more people are agreeing with you, DeJuan, 100%. So, and Curly says horoscopes are part of the devil's trickery because the question was, you read a horoscope for entertainment. Annie, are you back?
I'm back now, yeah. I keep getting real calls in my office, and so it's hard, but I'm back.
Okay, no, it's okay. Okay, go. You have a question.
I wanted to say, well, a couple things I want to say. That astrology thing, oh, boy. I mean, even to this day, I'm 54 as of yesterday. So we're talking about 33 years since I went through that spontaneous exorcism. And even to this day, when I'm reading the newspaper and the horoscope page comes up, I turn the page. It tells me right there, don't do it. But I do want to say that I had to be on a show, and I'm not going to say the name of the show. It was a couple weeks ago, and I was asked to be a guest. And I didn't know ahead of time as much as I should have known before going on it. And it was a two-hour show, and it was all about people were talking about reincarnation, and I was supposed to talk about diabetes for the whole show. And the person who was the host called me a few minutes before the show, and this person happens to be very well known in California and goes around and does lectures and seminars and all kinds of stuff, has written books. And they said to me a few minutes before the show, is there anything that you don't want to talk about? And I said, well, I would like to just stay with diabetes, and I like to, you know, I am a Christian. And they said, well, there will be some people that they think they have diabetes because of a past life regression. And I'm like, oh, no. So I got on the show, and, I mean, I'll tell you, I 15 minutes, and it was so difficult. It was killing me. And in the chat room, there were, like, 40 people, and it was all the – I'm pacing right now. I don't know if you can hear it in my voice. This is making me crazy, but I need to get this out. And I was just saying, God, get me through this, get me through this, get me through this, and stay focused. And there were people calling in and asking questions, and, you know, my subject is diabetes. And about, I don't know if you guys remember, I think it was last week, all of Blog Talk Radio went down. About 13 minutes into the show, the whole Blog Talk Radio went down. And the show was ended. And I didn't have to be a guest anymore.
Wow.
I mean, it was so incredible. I mean, I'm getting goosebumps talking about it. And in the chat room, you know, they're going, all of Blog Talk Radio's down. All the shows are down. And we have to end the show. I mean, God rescued me and protected me.
I believe that. I believe that happened.
Well, I know it happened.
When I was working, you know, it's really funny. I want to share something very quickly before I bring Dee back in. When I was working at the Sheraton Hotel, I was led to give this huge youth conference. And in 2006, January of 2006, I planned this huge From Hip Hop to Heaven Youth Empowerment Conference. And I didn't know how in the world I was going to pay for this conference. And I flew in this guy, Nova from Jehovah, Nova from Atlanta, and had people coming from Chicago. And I had people, matter of fact, Dave videotaped it. Watch this. I didn't know how I was going to pay for this conference. The budget was at like $6,000 or $7,000. I'm like, okay, this is bananas. How am I going to pay for this conference? Do you know, right before Christmas, a couple days before Christmas, my boss walked in. I was a sales manager, and there were just two other sales managers and then our director of sales. He walked in and handed us all a check. And we were like, oh, we got a Christmas bonus. Okay, bust this. The Christmas bonus was 15% of our salary. 15, not 2%, not 5%. 15% of our salary. And the other two sales managers were like, oh, my God, this never happened before. We can't believe. And I said to myself, y'all better know I had to get my conference paid for, and that's the only reason you guys got this bonus. And they looked at me, yeah, laughed. Do you know they have not gotten bonuses like that ever since? And that was the first time they ever got a bonus. So that's why I really, really believe that stuff can be rearranged and switched. So, Annie, I hear exactly what you're saying, because I had no idea how this conference was going to get produced. When that check came in, I cashed it, paid the photographer, paid everybody's airfare, paid everything that needed to be paid, and they have not gotten a bonus at that hotel for that department since. And when I told them that day, you only got this bonus because I needed to pay for this conference, they laughed me off. But that's real talk. That's real, real, real. Like, you can't make that stuff up. But going back to today's topic of I see dead people, Dee, please wind down the show. I know I said that before, but Dropping Seed Radio says, we want horoscopes and other things to guide our decisions rather than to seek God's voice within us. Dee, we got to close the show because we're now down to the last couple minutes of an extended show.
Okay. Well, I think one thing I'm going to go back and bring up that you said about astrology and astronomy, what you got to understand is everything has to be done within the confines and the parameters of God's will. God willed for the wise men to follow a star to lead them to Christ. That was the only purpose of that. If after that point they were still using that star to do other things, then they would be outside of the will of God. Obviously, the whole Jewish calendar is a lunar calendar that's based on the cycles of the moon. That was purpose for that. But then when you start going beyond and start using constellations and stars to define yourself outside of the will of God to get your direction and to get your will done outside of the will of God, that's when the problems occur. It's not necessarily the creation, but it's how people manipulate the creation for their own will. That's when you have the problems to occur. And to wind down the show, in all seriousness, this whole concept of death and life is like never before. When we looked, you know, when I grew up in the 70s, you didn't have psychics on TV. You didn't have paranormal shows. Now it's so acceptable on mainstream TV. I mean, even police departments actually use psychics now. There's this fascination and glorification of death to where even teenagers and kids, everybody wants to rock skulls and iced out skulls and bones, and it's all about death. And you got to look at the greater plan here at work, is that the devil is trying to deceive everybody into thinking that it's cool and it's all right. You really ain't going to die, and if you die, you're going to be in an eternal party somewhere doing this, this, and that, and kicking it with your favorite stars. But we got to understand that it's so further from the truth. You got to understand that there is a definite war going on for souls, that, you know, our job is to go out and be witnesses in light and dark places to try to illuminate minds so as many people can come to the knowledge of Christ as possible. And obviously the devil is on his job getting everybody to embrace this whole death culture that we got going on and embrace, you know, because he knows if he can get people to like death and accept death, he knows it's over with. He knows once they hit the grave, it's a wrap. They don't come back. They don't get another chance. They don't reincarnate. They don't do any of these things. He knows this. Just like he told Eve, yeah, go ahead, eat the apple. You're not going to die. It's not going to do nothing to you. So you got to look at the grand scheme of what's going on, and we have to be sober and vigilant and have our mind stayed and redeemed and focusing on Christ so that we can continue to do our work, be soldiers for Christ. Like the Bible says, endure until the end. Know what we're up against. Know the wiles and the tricks and the schemes of the enemy. Know what, you know, you just can't just get up and just, you know, just lollygag through life. You, as you said, through this show, not just through this show, but as we've talked about over the last 3 weeks, you got to pray. You got to cover yourself in the blood of Jesus. You got to cover your family. You got to be focused. Because, you know, the enemy goes around like a roaring lion seeking to see whom he can devour, who can he get at, who going to open the door to bring chaos and confusion into their life. And if you only have a finite time here on earth, and if he can steal as many days from you and time from you so you can be distracted and off course and off track, then that's just a less that you're going to accomplish for the kingdom. That's going to be one less person that you're going to actually reach with the message of the gospel. So the whole point of all of this is to get people off track and distracted, and then ultimately to give people an alternative to say, hey, you don't have to do God's will. You can do what you want to do, and I will help you do it. We'll tell you what's going to happen and what's going to go down. And I'll leave you with the last verse from 2 Corinthians 2:5, is it says in verse 7, we live by faith and not by sight. At the end of the day, you have to have that faith. You have to have that trust and knowing in who you believe in and what he's telling you and his word, and you have to immerse yourself and study it so that you can live by faith and not be caught up in the things you may see or what appears to be real or may be happening, that you be rooted and grounded in him.
Yeah, I can't say it the way you do. Dropping Seed Radio says, I got 5 on it. And How Elegant says, we live by or walk by faith. Annie Rose Biomed says, amen. Dropping Seed says, may God watch between me and thee while we're absent one from another. Amen. Annie says, yes, but you have to be ever vigilant and trust that God has your back. He did mine on that show. Yeah. I would love to do this again. I don't know if necessarily on the scope of dead people, but really looking into what this means, because something that Annie said about that other show, that show was packed full of people talking about whatever they were talking about, whatever they were talking about. But we have to arm ourselves with the sword of truth. And we have to arm ourselves with the knowledge that's contained in the Bible and learn from all of the scholars before us. What did Moses do? What did Jesus do? What did Daniel do? So that way we can go out into the world, because we're not going out armed. One of the things that I always said about Muslims and Jehovah's Witnesses when I was a youth director, they knew what they believed top to bottom, left and right. They knew, and they trained them from little babies what we believe and why we believe it. And I felt almost sloppy being a Christian because I couldn't justify what I believed, and I couldn't just accept, well, I believe this because. And I want us all to come here and be armed with the truth. I put on my Twitter page that I am a truth student. I want us to be armed with the truth because I want us to be able to go out and know why we believe what we believe. And I don't think this show is really about dead people per se. And Dropping Seed says, I can't worry about dead people. I'm too busy trying to keep the living from dying. You're absolutely right. And Mama Smokey said, if you believe God is with you, then nothing can come against you. I believe that. But there's still these questions that exist. And one of the reasons why I left the church that I was at is because when I started asking these questions, nobody was availing themselves to provide me with any answers. These are very real questions. I have very real questions, and I thank God DeJuan is in my life and stayed in my life through all of the things that he and I have been through. I thank God every day DeJuan is in my life because I have somebody who will not judge me or think less of me when I ask these questions. I'm coming from a very real and honest perspective here. I want to know why my mama can say I talk to my grandmother, and I know that that may not line up with the Word of God. Or the Word of God as I see it or as I understand it. I need to be able to enlighten the people whose lives I touch. And one thing that DeJuan does provide us with is with scripture after scripture after scripture. Dee, I remember when you told me you were doing nothing but studying the Bible, you couldn't get a job.
Yeah, it was just like that show. They shut the show down. God shut down all the jobs. I couldn't get one. I just had to stay home and read the Bible every day.
Well, I'm sorry, continue. I'm sorry, what were you saying?
So that's that.
Well, DeJuan, I'm grateful more than you can ever know, and I'm fighting back the tears right now. I'm so grateful that you are in my life because you are a person that has never judged me. You have always been a friend from the first time we talked when I was with Jacinta, working out of that office, the other office in New York. And I thank God that you did not give up on me, and I thank God that you had the tenacity to still be my friend and to still call me, because I don't know where this show would be without you being such an integral part of it. You are such a major force behind it, and to know that your studying was not in vain, that it was not a waste, and any time I can open up my show to you to help us all better understand the Word of God, I'm just really, really grateful. And I'm grateful that you have a wife behind you who can keep you encouraged to continue to do what you're doing. And I just want more of God every single day. I really do. And I remember putting in a blog post that I want God to be such a force in my life that the things that are not of God turn away and don't touch me. If it's not of God, find another road, find another street. I don't want it near me. And I'm not living so holy that I'm no earthly good. Y'all know I talk about all types of stuff. But I'm just so happy that God has put people around me, pastors and spiritual people that can help me in my walk. You all don't even know what is in store for me for 2009. I can't even really share it right now. But all of this from July 7th when I started this show, it's leading up to what is going to happen in 2009. And I'm happy, Dee, that you're really in my life, and I'll say it in front of anybody. Thank you very much, and thank you for your study. Thank you for your discipline. Thank you for your tenacity, and thank you for your will to commit your life to God publicly, because you know, Dee, there's a lot of me's and you's out there, and they don't have the courage to do it publicly. So I'm happy that you don't judge, and thank you very much. That's all I could say about that.
Well, I really appreciate your honest and open Oprah moment.
Beat you.
I mean, I can't. All I can say is that for me, I come from a place of, you know, being critically judged most of my life. So to get to where I am now, to where I realize God didn't judge me despite the flaws and the things I had to go through, I can't put that out there on other people, because I've come through a lot of, you know, judgment and people trying to criticize and point out flaws and all this other type of stuff. And at the end of the day, I thank God for the opportunity to be on this show, but to keep it real, what I do is not what I wanted to do. I wanted to be Diddy. I wanted to be Russell Simmons. I didn't want to be doing none of this stuff. But it goes back to having faith and trusting in God's will for your life, even though you don't want to do it. Because as the scriptures say, we have to die daily. We have to take up our cross and follow him and do the things in our carnal mind and our flesh that we don't really want to do, but we have to submit to his direction for our lives, even if it ain't what we had originally, you know, planned. If you look at the disciples, they didn't plan to be following Christ around, you know, for 3.5 years. They had their own businesses and vocations, but they submitted to the call. So I would just encourage anybody that this is not easy. It's not an easy process. It's not an easy transition. Every day your body and your mind is going to fight against the will of God for you. You're going to have opposition. You're going to have naysayers, doubters, haters, speculators, criticizers, critics, everybody that's going to be trying to help you quit. But the Bible tells you to endure to the end. If you have that faith that it's for the good, that there's a payoff, and you have that relationship with God, and you rely on that deposit of the Holy Spirit that guarantees us a place with him, then I encourage everybody to continue to build on it. But don't think this is easy and it's just roses and everything is all good. You got to have to commit yourself to a death walk. Even though we talk about, I see dead people, but as this life, to do the things of God, to do the will of God, to be an effective witness, to be light in dark places, you have to commit yourself to die to those things that you wanted to do before you came into Christ, so that you may live in him, so that your move and your being is him and his will, and you're doing the things that he will have you do versus the things that you may or thought you wanted to do. And that's all I got to say about that.
Thank you very much. I am about to read before we close the show. I can't believe we did a whole hour and a half show. I can't believe the show went this long, and I could go another hour. But anyway, just to share with you, and I'm shutting off your mic. Thanks for joining us today, and I am not extending the chat room today. So once I finish this prayer, I am shutting the chat room down. I'm not. Today is not that day for that. Today is the day for just, it is what it is. Okay, here it goes. The Prayer of Faith by Hannah Moore Cohouse. God is my help in every need. God does my every hunger feed. God walks beside me. God guides my way through every moment of the day. I now am wise, I now am true, patient, kind, and loving too. All things I am, can do, and be, through Christ, the truth that is in me. God is my health, I can't be sick. God is my strength, unfailing quick. God is my all, I know no fear, since God and love and truth are here.
and our prayer of protection goes. The light of God surrounds us. The love of God enfolds us. The power of God protects us. The presence of God watches over us. Wherever I am, God is. Wherever you are, God is. Thanks, God, and so it is. I love you all for listening. Thank you very, very much for listening to Life Remixed Radio. A special thank you and virtual hug to Dewan, who joins us every single Thursday for our weekly Ecclesia Bible study. I am putting his blog in the chat room, www.ekkleisiaatl.blogspot.com. So please, if you can, check out ecclesiaatl.blogspot.com. I love you all for listening, and I'll see you tomorrow. Peace.